See what happened in that skit, guys? Someone had stolen, that person over there had stolen the money off the poor man who was trying to feed his family. His last $10, he was going to the shop with his last $10, and the rich dude over here stole his money. But why did the judge say that he was innocent? Yeah? She gave him what? How much? $50? $100? Yeah, she gave him lots of money to say that she was innocent and that he was guilty. Now, is that judge, has she done the right thing? Definitely not. Didn't do the right thing at all. That judge hated what was good and he loved what was evil. He got paid to make the wrong decision. So that's the sort of thing that was happening back in Micah's day. A little bit later on, he says, your judges take money to make the wrong decisions. They take bribes to make the wrong decisions. That's the sort of thing Micah was saying. This is wrong. You guys are doing the wrong thing. Your leaders, your judges, are corrupt. They're doing exactly what God didn't want them to do. Would you want that sort of a person leading you? That sort of a judge? You wouldn't want them, would you? Because they're doing exactly the wrong thing. These rotten judges are unfair, they're dishonest, they're unjust, they love what is evil, and they hate what is good. Now, do you know what? We can be in danger of this same sort of thing, because there's something in the Bible that says, watch out, because you don't want to become unfair judges yourselves. And it's from James chapter 2, where James writes to all of us, to all Christians, he says, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the rich man and say, here's a good seat for you, and say to the poor man, stand over there, or you sit on the floor near my feet, you are saying that some people are better than others. You have become judges with evil thoughts. See, there were judges back in Micah's day with evil thoughts, and Micah said, you are doing the wrong thing. You've got to stop doing that because God isn't happy with you. But James says we can be judges with evil thoughts too if we discriminate between people. If we say some people are better than others, we're just in the same boat. We've become judges with evil thoughts. But guess what? That wasn't all that was happening. Mrs. Foster's going to come and read to us Micah chapter 3, verses 5, 6 and 7.
This is what the Lord says. As for the prophets who lead my people astray, if one feeds them, they proclaim peace. If he does not, they prepare to wage war against him. Therefore, night will come over you without visions and darkness, without divination. The sun will set for the prophets, and the day will go dark for them. The seers will be ashamed, and the diviners disgraced. They will all cover their faces, because there is no answer from God.
Did you see what was happening in that part of the story? There were some prophets, but they weren't speaking God's word. Instead, they were speaking some other messages to the people. Well, kids, could you see what was happening in that part of the story? There's some prophets, or there's a prophet, there were prophets in Micah's day who prophesied for money or for food. So if someone fed the prophets, they would say nice things. They would proclaim peace. Yes, come on, yes, you're a beautiful person. You're going to have a great future. But if someone didn't feed them or didn't pay them, then they would say, no, God doesn't like you. So, these prophets, were they really speaking God's word? They weren't, were they? Would you want this sort of a leader? Would you want this sort of a person to be telling you what God says to you? You wouldn't, would you? Because they're dishonest and they're corrupt. There's no truth. God says to them, there'll be no more visions. I'm not going to speak to you anymore. Have a look there in verse 6. He says, therefore, night will come over you without visions, and darkness without divination. The sun will set for the prophets, and the day will go dark for them. And so God wasn't going to speak to these prophets anymore. He wasn't going to tell them because they didn't tell the truth anyway. And so God would not speak his word to his people anymore. But not only that, if they called out to God, then God wouldn't answer them. Let me read to you verse 7. The seers will be ashamed and the diviners disgraced. They will all cover their faces because there is no answer from God. And do you know what? For 400 years, God didn't speak to his people. For 400 years, he didn't send any messengers to his people because they disobeyed him. They rebelled against him. They did what was evil. They loved what was evil and they hated what was good. And so God said, well, that's it. I'm not going to speak to you. And for 400 years, now, you've been learning about the next person to come along after that 400 years. You've been learning about him in Sunday school. His name started with J. Anyone want to tell me? Close. Just before Jesus. John who? John the Baptist. And he was the first prophet after a whole period, 400 years of not listening, of God not speaking to his people. God spoke through John the Baptist. Now the question is, can we fall into this trap? And I think we can, because sometimes we only share the truth with people that we like. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm not going to talk to that person about Jesus because I don't like them and I don't want them to come to my church. I'm not going to invite that person to youth group. I'm not going to invite that person to church because I don't really like them very much. And so we start to just talk to people who are going to be good to us, who are going to be kind to us, who we like and generous to us. And the other ones, well, they don't deserve to become Christians. They're not very likable. They're a real nuisance. They're not easy to get on with. And so sometimes we can fall into the trap of speaking God's truth to some people, but not to others. We need to speak the truth, not make up things to please people, not to get approval from others and not to gain from others. We just need to speak God's truth all the time, no matter whether people are good to us or whether they're not good to us. We need to speak God's truth all the time. There's a verse in the Bible about that. 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul says, a lot of people try to get rich from preaching God's message of salvation through Christ, but we are God's sincere messengers, and by the power of Christ, we speak our message with God as our witness. There are a lot of people in our world who try to get rich off preaching about Jesus, but like Paul, and that happened back in Paul's day, but he said, no, we've got to be sincere messengers. Not trying to get rich or not trying to get favour with other people by teaching them about Jesus, but just by speaking the truth to everyone. Well, these leaders aren't very good, are they? The leaders of God's people are corrupt. The prophets aren't speaking the truth. And so what is God going to do about it? We're going to have a look at verses 9 to 12. Mrs. Foster, can you read verses 9 to 12 for me?
Hear this, you leaders of the house of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel, who despise justice and distort all that is right, who build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with wickedness. Her leaders judge for a bribe, her priests teach for a price, and her prophets tell fortunes for money. Yet they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No disaster will come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion will be ploughed like a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble. The Temple Hill a mound overgrown with thickets.
God's not going to put up with bad leaders, is he? Because these leaders, they should be fair and just. They should be people of honesty and integrity. They should speak the truth that God has revealed to them. But they love what is evil and hate what is good. And they're spreading lies so that they can become richer and fatter. Are they the sort of leaders that you would follow? They aren't, are they? Would you vote for these guys to be your leaders? No way. Well, because these leaders are going to lead the nation into disaster. You see what happens at the end of verse 12 there? They say, everything's okay, God's with us. He's not, no disaster will come upon us, but in verse 12, therefore, because of you, these leaders, Zion will be ploughed like a field, Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble, the temple hill a mound overgrown with thickets. The great city Jerusalem will be reduced to just rocks lying on the ground. And the mountain of the Lord, Zion, will be ploughed like a field. God will bring an end to all this dishonesty and the lies and the corruption. Well, these people need a good leader. I wonder what sort of leader do they need?
Verse 8, chapter 3. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin.
Mrs. Foster thought I'd forgotten that verse, but I hadn't forgotten it, Mrs. Foster. I was saving the best till last, because this is the verse in that Bible reading that gives hope. It gives hope for Israel, and it gives hope for us today, because it talks about someone that God has sent, God's messenger. God has sent this messenger to speak the truth. And this messenger, you've got some spaces on your sheets to fill in. Its messenger was filled with what? What does it tell us in that Bible verse in verse 8? This messenger was filled with. What's the first thing? Who wants to call it out? Yep. Power. Very good. So filled with power. Filled with, because they're not afraid of other people. They're going to speak God's word because they are filled with power. What's the second thing that it says that they are filled with? Who wants to call it out? The Spirit of the Lord. Very good. Spirit of the Lord. Now, the Spirit of the Lord helps us to know what's true, and so we'll be able to speak the truth. Micah and we'll be able to speak the truth if someone has the Spirit of the Lord. And what's the last one? There's two words that go together. That's filled with justice and might. So you should have all those things on your sheet of paper now. This messenger is going to be filled with power, filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might. They'll be fair and honest and able and ready to serve God because God's Spirit has worked in them. And they're going to be filled with power, filled with the Spirit of the Lord, filled with justice and might. What to do? They're going to do something very important. There's a word that starts with D in the Bible reading. Declare what? Declare to God, to Jacob, that's God's people, their transgressions, and to Israel, their sins. So the very important job that this messenger has is to tell people when they've got off track, when they've gone the wrong way, to declare their transgressions and their sins, to tell them that they are going the wrong way and they need to turn around. When I was in England, we were in England and we were driving around, and they have very confusing roundabouts in England. And I went around one of these very confusing roundabouts, and all of a sudden there was a sign on the next to the road that said, wrong way, go back. I'd turned left off somehow off this, and I was going the wrong way, and I was going towards a freeway, and I was going down the road the wrong way. Wrong way, go back. Now, what should I do if I saw a sign like that? Repent. That's right. Chuck a quick Yui and go back the other way. What's the danger if I ignore that sign? Tilly, thank you. Have an accident and all my family could be injured. What else, Darcy? You could die. That's right. If you ignore the sign, if you ignore the danger sign, then all sorts of terrible things can happen. And this messenger that God sent to his people, who was filled with the Spirit of the Lord, with might, with justice and power, was to tell the people that they were going the wrong way and they needed to turn around and go back. God's messenger tells people when they're going the wrong way and they've got off track, and they tell them to get back on track, because if they go the wrong way, there's danger. So if Israel, if God's people continue to sin, then they were going the wrong way and they needed to get back on track. And so Micah wrote these words in verse 8. Who is the man that it's talking about in verse 8? Now, there's a very long answer to this easy question. Who's this man that's talking about in verse 8? Who wants to have a guess? Who is the man? Not quite. His name starts with M and he wrote the words. Micah, very good. Micah is the man who this is talking about, because Micah wrote these words. But it's not just Micah, do you know? There was other prophets around as well. Isaiah was one of those prophets. And Isaiah spoke the same words as Micah. He said, wrong way, go back, you're getting off track, get back on track. And he told God's people when they were going the wrong way. But not just Isaiah. Who have you been learning about in Sunday school who told people they were going the wrong way? John the Baptist, that's right. When people came to him, he said, you guys are a brood of snakes. You're all doing the wrong thing. You're all going the wrong way. Get back on track. Turn your life around. And so John the Baptist said the same thing as Micah. But it wasn't just John the Baptist. There was someone else who was full of God's Spirit who spoke God's words. Let's look at these verses from Luke chapter 4. You've had these in Sunday school. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has chosen me to proclaim good news to the poor, to announce freedom for prisoners, to give sight to the blind, to free everyone who is trapped, and to say, this is the year of the Lord's favor. Who said those words? Who read those words out of the scroll? Jesus did. That's right. Jesus spoke those words. Jesus is the one who God sent his, put his Spirit on to send to preach good news, to tell people to get back on track and to stay on track. You see, Micah had bad news for the people because of the time he was around, and there were so many people who loved what is evil and hated what is good. And so Micah's message was a message of, you guys are going the wrong way and you've got to get back on track. But Jesus didn't just have that message. He also had the message of good news. Good news for the poor, freedom for prisoners, sight for the blind, freeing everyone who is trapped. And so Jesus' message was a message, firstly, of sin, but also of salvation. And so Jesus was God's special prophet. So these words in verse 8 are also talking about Jesus. But guess what? It doesn't finish there. There's more. These words in Micah 3 verse 8 could also be talking about us. Because in Acts 1:8, Jesus said this to his followers. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Do those words sound a bit familiar? Micah had said, I am filled with power with the Spirit of the Lord and with justice and might. And now Jesus is saying to his followers, you will be filled with power and the Spirit of the Lord. And we're Jesus' followers, and because we trust in Jesus, he's filled us with his Spirit. And so we have this same message to give to people, to help people to know what the right track is, to help them to know when they've got off track, to help them to know how to get back on track, and to help them to know how to stay on track. To give them the bad news about sin and the good news about salvation. This is our job too. Just like it was Micah's job, just like it was John the Baptist's job, just like it was Jesus' job, and because we're Jesus' servants, he has given us the job to tell people about him. So Micah chapter 3 has a lot of bad news for people who love what is evil and hate what is good. But it's bad news because he wants them to get back on track, to not fall into the trap, and to not go down the wrong way. But we also have good news to tell people, good news about Jesus. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you that today we've seen in Micah chapter 3 that you hate lies and you hate injustice and you will deal with it and punish it. But Lord, we also thank you that you sent a messenger. You sent Micah, you sent John the Baptist, but mostly importantly, you sent Jesus with the message of sin and salvation. And Father, we thank you that you send us with that message too, to help other people to understand that you have saved them from their sin, that you've put them back on the right track, and that they can stay on track with you forever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.